Welcome to this introduction to A Moon for the Misbegotten by Eugene O'Neill. It's been directed by Rebecca Frecknell. The production lasts for approximately 2 hours and 55 minutes, including an interval, and will be audio described by Jenny Stewart Cosgrove and Miranda Yates. The website tells us, "There is no present or future, only the past happening over and over again, now." On a barren farm in Connecticut, Josie Hogan dreams of more. Abandoned by her brothers and trapped with her volatile father, the desire for change feels urgent. Haunted by the death of his mother, James Tyrone Jr. drinks to cover the pain. Trapped in a spiral of guilt and shame, he longs for connection. When the two are brought together, a single night reveals a devastating truth, and both will be altered forever. Please note, this production contains themes of alcoholism, misogynistic language, and depictions of sexual coercion. The performance also contains haze effects and the onstage smoking of cigarettes. Josie Hogan is a white woman of 28. Of medium height, her slim frame belies a powerful physicality with strong toned arms and legs. She stands, feet planted firmly, hands stuffed into pockets or lodged on her hips, and strides with an almost masculine gait, or sits legs apart, knees drawn up, arms resting on them, with her back curled and her jaw lifted. Josie's expressive sun-kissed complexion is makeup-free, with sharp cheekbones, watchful green eyes, and a sullen mouth that at times dissolves into a wide smile. Her chestnut-brown hair is pulled into a messy bun, with a few strands hanging loose at the front, or is worn loose, falling in a centre parting and hanging uncombed to below her shoulders. When we first meet her, she's dressed in men's work clothes for farm labour and appears disarmingly comfortable in them. Her baggy grey denim dungarees are well worn, with a brown leather belt holding them in place at her waist. A leather knife pouch hangs from the belt at her right hip, and she has brown leather fingerless gloves on her hands. Her threadbare once white shirt has the sleeves rolled up and the neck unbuttoned, and she finishes her outfit with grey wool socks and thick-soled black leather lace-up boots. She keeps the boots on when she later changes into a mint-green cotton dress with a round neck, buttoned-up bodice, and cap sleeves that expose her shoulders and arms. The skirt hangs straight to the knee, and then ruffles a little in a thick hem finishing at her calf. The femininity of the colour and fabric adds traces of vulnerability to her stance and movement. At times she clasps her hands protectively across her waist, or fidgets with the skirt, smoothing it. Her steps are more measured, and when she sits, she tucks the fabric between her legs in an act of conscious modesty. Phil Hogan is Josie's father, a tall, angular white man in his mid-50s. His collar-length straggly hair and unkempt, full, almost white beard make him appear older. He has a weathered, hollow-cheeked face with long nose and pale blue eyes that glint with malevolence. Phil's dilapidated shambling belies a sinewy strength that rises to the surface in blasts of temper. He's quick to roughly handle others or raise his hand in anger. Phil is dressed for farm work in faded blue denim dungarees that hang loosely from him and are so long they almost cover his scuffed brown leather boots. They're filthy and have patches on the knees and shins. One shoulder strap hangs undone, swinging by his right hip. The other is keeping them up, looped over his left shoulder. His grubby beige shirt is worn with the sleeves rolled up to the elbows over a peach vest. When drunk, Phil moves with a precarious surety, placing his steps with the confidence of one who knows his environment like the back of his hand. James Tyrone, referred to by the others as Jim, is a white man in his 40s. Tall and thin, Jim is tanned with close-cropped dark hair thinning on top, and a clean-shaven, bony face that bears the traces of the handsome man he was, now ravaged by drinking, and glossed with a sheen of sweat. His deep-set brown eyes are framed by thick eyebrows, and his earnest expression is offset by a slight slackness to the jaw that gives him a hint of gormlessness. Jim moves with a loose-limbed ease, his joints and body well lubricated by the bottle, his gestures unformed. At times he lurches for a place to sit, unable to support himself upright. He's dressed in a roomy mud-brown two-piece suit, a white shirt unbuttoned at the neck, brown brogues and a thin tie striped in pale yellow, brown and red. When he removes the jacket, he reveals the black braces holding up his trousers. Mike Hogan is Josie's younger brother. A tall, strong, eager white man in his early 20s, with light brown hair cut short and combed forward, framing a lightly tanned face with blue eyes, a thick-set nose, and an expression of sincere indignation. He wears a rough, dark blue denim boiler suit that's full of holes and cut off at the shoulder to reveal a faded, pale orange long-sleeve vest. His boots are black leather, scuffed, with threadbare laces. At one point, he changes from the raggedy brown leather work boots to slightly less worn black boots more suitable for wearing to town. As he changes them, a toe sticks out through a hole in his socks. He preaches at his sister with a straight back and a zealot's passion, his finger jabbing the air and arms waving to emphasize his point. We also meet T. Stedman Harder, a diminutive local landowner played by an actor of Japanese-American heritage. He's fastidiously dressed in the garb of a fine country gentleman in a dove grey three-piece riding suit. The waistcoat is buttoned over a pristine white shirt, and a storm grey silk cravat is knotted at his throat. He wears the wool jacket undone, and the breeches tucked into knee-length, shiny, hickory-brown leather riding boots. He carries a riding crop, and completes his outfit with a black bowler hat. When the hat is removed, his jet-black hair is cut short and neatly oiled into place. His clean-shaven face has fine features and is lightly tanned, with brown eyes and a stiff-lipped mouth. He stands straight-backed, with his jaw lifted to increase his stature. The story unfolds in a broken, neglected farmyard that's a mix of realistic and symbolic elements. At the heart of the farmyard is a raised circular platform of rough wooden boards in dry, weathered tones. At the back, the bare brick of the wall of the theatre remains visible, its earthy tones blending with the parched, weathered wood of the set to create a muted, natural palette. The platform is about 6 metres in diameter and raked so that it's slightly higher at the back, sloping gently down to the front, where it rests about a metre higher than the surrounding stage floor and audience seating. The platform is held up by a series of sturdy, rough-hewn wooden posts, echoing rustic stilt-built homestead structures, leaving the darkened space beneath the platform visible. The circular platform is broken at two points. At the front to the left, a broad triangular section is cut away into a set of five steps, and opposite, at the back on the right, another triangular section is built up into a smaller set of three steps, leading up to a narrow level that wraps around the back of the right side. This level is about a meter in width, and lower on the right, with a step up to the left, where a simple wooden chair and dressing table represents Josie's bedroom. On the right, towards the front edge, is a small raised section like a low stoop, a few inches higher than the rest of the platform. On the ground below, pushed up to it, a couple of odd bits of furniture create a makeshift set of steps, an old cupboard, a small side table, and a low bench. Resting against the old cupboard is a long, menacing-looking pole, similar in shape to a baseball bat. Around the edges of the platform, the sides of the space are crowded by a jumble of tall, dry wooden planks, old doors with flaking paint, empty window frames, broken ladders, and mismatched furniture. The objects are stacked haphazardly on top of each other, leaning and tilting at precarious angles, creating an oppressive sense of clutter. Towards the front, some pieces appear partly buried or sunken into the floor, including an old piano on the right, leaning as if it's sinking into the yard, as though the wreckage of the farm has been left to rot and is slowly being swallowed back into the earth. Overhead, suspended from a circular metal track that runs around the auditorium, an orb light glides silently and slowly above the action. Like a searchlight, its soft glow shifting, casting long shadows and soft light across the clutter of the dilapidated farmyard below. Cast and production credits. Josie Hogan is played by Ruth Wilson. Phil Hogan is David Threffel. James Tyrone is Michael Shannon. Mike Hogan is played by Peter Corby. And T. Stedman Harder is Aki Kotobi. The set design is by Tom Scutt. The lighting design is by Jack Knowles. The sound design is by Peter Rice. Costume design is by Moy Tran. The music is composed by NYX. A Moon for the Misbegotten is written by Eugene O'Neill and directed by Rebecca Frecknell. This is the end of the audio introduction to A Moon for the Misbegotten at the Almeida Theatre. If you have any questions or need further assistance, please contact the box office on 020-7359-4404 or email access@almeida.co.uk.